in South Australia. But I'm not going to be taking it all. We're going to have the young people at the school sharing in the teaching this morning so that they can contribute their insights to us. The topic of this session is the freedom of the glory of the children of God. The freedom of the glory of the children of God. Do you want to say that with me? The freedom of the glory of the children of God. I'm going to read to you where that comes from, and I want you to listen for when it comes. This is from Romans 8. From verse 15. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. So we're not in slavery, we're in freedom, but that freedom is the freedom of adoption, the freedom of being children of God. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. So we're not fearful slaves anymore. We are sons in the Son who has set us free. We're children and heirs of God. We call out to God as Father, Abba, and we have the responsible freedom of his whole estate. Now, in this present age, as we've been hearing, this is in the context of deep suffering. But this freedom is not just for us. It is for the whole creation. For the rest of the creation needs to come to share in the freedom of the glory of the children of God. So from verse 18, Paul says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain, are you ready for it, the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Say that together. The creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labour pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies, which, as we've heard, is nothing less than resurrection from the dead. Now, in a little while, the 2 to 3 year olds will remind us of God's plan for the whole creation, the animals included, in the story of Noah's Ark. But first, I want us to think about the time when all the children of God will be revealed and our bodies will be redeemed. Paul is talking here about the resurrection from the dead on the last day, and there will be a whole new heavens and a new earth, the whole of God's creation made new. And here's how it's described in Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away and the sea was no more. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, see, the home of God is among human beings. He will dwell with them. They will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. And the one who was seated on the throne said, see, I am making all things new. Also he said, write this, for these words are trustworthy and true. And then he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. Those who conquer will inherit these things. I will be their God. They will be my children. See again how the responsible, how freedom is the freedom of being the responsible grown-up children of God in close relationship with him. What a wonderful inheritance. The home of God is among human beings. He'll dwell with them. They will be his people. God himself be with them. Wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death no more. Mourning no more. Crying and pain no more. Now there are places in Scripture where this is called, is given a name. It's called the reward. The reward. God said to Abraham, "Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield. I am your very great reward." And Abraham set his sights on that reward, the heavenly country, the holy city, all his days. We're told in Hebrews 11 that Moses aligned himself with the children of Israel, even though that involved suffering and abuse, he was looking ahead to the reward. Paul called it the prize. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Now normally we expect that when we get a reward or a prize, it's for something that we've done. But that seems to be missing here. We may be thinking, what have we done to deserve that reward? That, to get that prize? And I say, what's that got to do with anything? We should all be able to say that by now in this school. What's that got to do with anything? Whoever said anything about deserving that? It's a bit like Julie Andrews in The Sound of Music when she fell in love. And it was such a wonderful experience that she sang, "Somewhere in my youth and childhood I must have done something good." Well, maybe she did or maybe she didn't. But that's got nothing to do with anything. Maybe God just gave her that wonderful gift of love. One of Jesus' most confronting parables is the one about the labourers in the vineyard. Remember that? When the owner went out and hired people for a day's work, and at the end of the day he gave them a day's pay. But there are others that he hired later in the day, and later in the day, and later in the day, and very late in the day. And when it came time to pay them, they all got a full day's pay. Now that doesn't fit with any economic system or workplace agreement we could think of. I think Jesus often spoke in outlandish terms deliberately to provoke us and to get us to think about it. When we think about that parable, we say there's something missing here. There's a big gap here somewhere. They're getting a full day's pay and they haven't done a full day's work. So where's the justice in that? Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God, how God operates in his creation. We expect it to be all fair, but do you see that there's a gap there? And what fits that gap? That's the question that Jesus is getting us to ask. In the kingdom of God, what is the full day's pay? Well, the full day's pay is our coming into our Father's inheritance, as we've heard. Jesus was really looking forward to that, especially the night before he died. He spoke to his disciples at that day, "When I drink the wine new with you in my Father's kingdom." So here we are, arriving in our Father's inheritance, receiving our full day's pay, when no way we can say that we've done a full day's work. What fits in that big gap? I think Jesus is getting us to realise Jesus has done the full day's work so we can get the full day's pay. And that's where we are. That's called grace. We're going to sing a song about that now, number 207. And during that song, the twos and threes will come up ready to teach us about God's covenant with the whole of creation at the time of Noah and the ark. Walgreens kindergarten to year twos, and they're going to show us how some people got free from prison. It's from Acts 16. Psalm 142 verse 7 says, "Bring my soul out of prison that I may praise your name." And a book was called From Prison to Praise. But I find it very interesting that in this instance, they were praising God while they were still in prison. So sure were they of the freedom that they had in Christ. I'd like to introduce Paul Green and his team with the kindergarten to year two.
But listen, they are singing. Now, Paul and Silas were singing and singing and praying to God who has rescued them. They were free, even though they were in prison and chained. Thank you very much, and we will now finish by singing as a group the whole of the Set Free. And while we're doing that, the children will go to the back of the hall and the parents can collect them from there afterwards, but remember to collect all their hats and lost property, their craft and all the other bits and pieces, please. So children can move backwards while we sing this song. Thank you.
Let's all stand. I've been set free from the pain that held me. I've been set free from the filth within. Set free through the blood of Jesus, set free to worship Him. Truly and true, by You all things were made. Our Lord and our God, You show love and mercy. You chose us Your bride, but we rejected You. I've been set free from the curse that held me. I've been set free from the guilt within. I've been set free through the blood of Jesus, set free to worship.
Years 3 to 6 are going to follow through that theme now. Freed through the cross of Christ. Let me introduce Ben and Rebecca Glebe and the team from the years 3 to 6.
Thank you. have learnt a memory verse.
As we learnt the verse, a bar was taken away from our prisoner Joe, bringing him one step closer to freedom.
Monday's verse was... to say,
your sins are forgiven. Luke 7:48.
Tuesday's verse was...
Create in me a clean heart, O God. Psalm 51:10.
Wednesday's verse was...
I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. Jeremiah 31:33.
Thursday's verse was...
For some men have to seek and to save what was lost. Luke 19:10.
Friday's verse was...
If the sun sets you free, then you will be free.
John.
Thank you, years 3 to 6. That was terrific. Your sins are forgiven. The Son of Man has set us free. Years 7 to 9 are now going to share something of what they've learned this week. So I invite Georgie Kammerman and Donna Kammerman and the team from the years 7 and 9 to come and share with us.
Hi, this is the 7s to 9s group, and I'm Georgie, and this is Donna and Troy and Toby down there. We're just going to share a little bit about what we've been learning this week. And first, I might just start off by saying thank you so much to Kobe, Stefan and Stephen for helping us with the small groups, because we're a bit short and we had lots of numbers, and so it was just really helpful that they could come out and help with that. So I might just quickly pass it over to Oscar. He wants to just share a little something about what he learnt this week, so I'll just do that.
I learned that being set free isn't just like being able to do whatever you want. It's like being free from sin and being free to be able to relate to God. Yes.
Troy's just going to share a little bit about what we've been learning and teaching out there, and then Josh Farm will come up and say a few words too.
It's just been a real blessing to all of the leaders, I think, to be part of the group this week and to be asked to share with them. And God's been faithful to us, hasn't he? He's given us his word, and I know that he's spoken to me, and that it is his word which comes to us, which washes us clean and purifies us. And so we've heard that this week, and I've been really blessed to just see all you guys be grown in faith by hearing God's word to us in Jesus Christ. And so we look forward to seeing you guys again next year and seeing how God has continued to work in you and in us, and how he's bringing us to fullness in his Son. So thank you guys for coming, and you've been a pleasure to be with, and thanks for putting up with us. So that's it.
I'd like to thank the leaders for the time they've given up to share their faith in God, and I'd just like to thank them for that.
It's been really beautiful this week to be with this bunch of creative and actually intelligent, believe it or not, and a thoughtful and reflective group of young people. I've had on the team with me Amy Schwartz and Alex Dunkley and Tobias Crabb and Hannah Dunkley, and it's been really beautiful working with them. We've had a really deep time. We've been looking at the freedom we have in Christ, and I think one thing that's come through is that the freedom we have actually gives us space. We don't have to be up to a certain standard, and we've got a group of teenagers who are just like us, finding our way in the grace of God, and it's just been wonderful to live in that freedom with each other together this week. I think all of this bunch have been to summer schools more times than I've had hot dinners, I think, and have had it all up together. And it's really been great to see over the years that I've been working with the teens group how each of these guys are growing, because they have space within the grace of God to grow into the person that God has for them to be. So thanks for lending them to us for the week.
Seniors, and we bless God for what he's doing in your lives as well over these years as we see that happening. Well, last but not least is the creche, the noughts to twos. We're not going to ask them all to come up here now because they're already with you, but I will ask our bulls just to come and report back with her team on that.
Yes, please, can I have the rest of the team up here? I don't want to be here on my own. So if Moira is here, and Gwen, Katrina, and... Oh, thank you, Nadine. Right, yeah. And yes, Kim. Thank you. Oh, great, you're here. Dear Moira. Thank you, thank you. Now, this is all real, isn't it? Thank you so much. Thank you so much for all your prayers for creche. This has been my first year as being leader, and I find out the terrible responsibilities of being a leader. Everybody says, whenever a question's asked, oh, ask Val, she'll know. I don't have a clue. So God has, as usual, attended to every single detail. And so it's been a real breeze. These helpers that I've had have just been tremendous. But besides these people who have been more or less full-time, I've had the great, great blessings of many, many very capable volunteers who've come every day, our relief staff, and I just urge you, please come again next year. Can I also say, actually, there's been a real dearth of men on the team, and we really could do with a few of you fellows to come and help do the necessary changing and wonderful things like that. So please, don't be slow in coming forward. Also this year, I've had the great privilege of having as leader, a secretary. Yes, I've actually needed a secretary, and if my secretary, Mr. Kim Smith, would like to come up here, you'll hear the reason why I needed a secretary. I thought, yes, we'd better do a report for 07, and so here is my report done by this very capable secretary, Mr. Kim Smith. So this is the creche report for 07.
Here begins the creche report. Not too long, but not too short. A note of thanks to those willing ladies who came to care for your assortment of babies. The women were led by Valerie Bulls. You won't find her in the company of fools. So many bottles emptied and filled, nappies changed. Excuse her if she seems a little deranged. Considerable help was given by Nadine. Fast and efficient, she's something to be seen. She probably deserves a medal for bravery for the bottoms she's cleaned, some quite unsavoury. Answering the call was also dear Moira. Such dedication, you've got to admire her. With babies to carry and cuddle and feed, she showed love's the deed that meets the need. Katrina as well gave her week to care for the tiny young people, a number left there. She would quietly spread her own special charm, keeping little ones happy and safe from harm. And we can't overstate the virtues of Gwen, who gathers your littlies like a kind mother hen, but watches them close, perhaps more like a hawk, and carefully considers each whimper and squawk. So while mums and dads have heard the good teaching, while your child has been laughing or feeding or reaching for a dummy or toy or a book to read, 'twas their freedom to serve you that was freedom indeed.
Thank you, Val, and your team. Wonderful. I think back to Paul and Silas in prison. They were in prison, but in prison they were praying and singing hymns to God. So sure were they of the freedom that they had come into in Christ. And here in this age, in this life, we're still constrained, maybe in some ways even imprisoned by certain situations. That's the way we are. But here and now, even under those constraints, we know the freedom for which Christ has set us free. And we don't give ourselves over to bondage. And we can be sure now of the freedom that we will have when we are raised from the dead, the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Indeed, what we have here now is a very sure taste of it already. So we're going to sing about that now with this new song that some of us practiced before, After This I Looked. It's some verses from Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 to 12. So not all of us may be familiar with it, so perhaps if I'm the singer, sing it first, and then we'll stand and sing it all together to close the school. After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to the God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worship God, singing Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Be to our God.
use them, and they'll become muddled-headed, and if in their conscience is in fact wrong to drink wine, and they drink wine, their conscience will condemn them, and I'll cause my brother to stumble. Do you get it? So it's no good attacking the person who's not free. So I learnt this in many ways from watching Jeff Bingham at it, and then I tried to do it as a pastor in my previous congregation, where many people used to come to our congregation who, what we would call, were quite legalistic. Had all kinds of hang-ups. The way to help them is not to attack the kind of things they're doing, or to rubbish them. Occasionally I did, but not too much. There's a place for good humour, but there's another place where we can seriously sort of affect them, and you put them, you engulf them in a precarious problem, so the freedom of which the person stands before God can, in fact, that person's freedom can be disturbed by your free behaviour. He also says that those who've got scruples should not judge those who don't have the scruples. So, let me start to draw it together. I need to say something before I do that, which is an addition to what I've prepared. I've thought now for the last few years that many of the problems we have in our congregations come because when we go to such and such a church or congregation, we go to that congregation with an image in our mind of what we think Christian community should be. And we've picked up that image of what Christian community should be, not from the church or from the Bible, but from a Probus meeting or belonging to a service club. Now, those service clubs and Probus are fine groups, so I'm not criticizing them in any way. I would like to belong to one of them myself. And so the people who go to Probus often used to say to me, we don't anywhere have as near as many fights in Probus as you have at church. And I said to them one day, that's because you don't have to deal with the God factor. Because when God speaks to his people react in different ways. And the gospel not only brings the best out of us, it also has brought the worst out of you. And so there's biblical grounds for saying, in some instances, there is more sin in the church than there is in the world. So remove your image and understand that God's free people are made up of people like you who have not got your act together, and all the other people who are in various forms of understanding that. And Paul is saying to both the strong, the free, the people who have got a good understanding and a maturity about what that means, as well as others who are battling and struggling and don't understand that, or are very secure in actually holding on to their scruples. Don't do it that way. Don't have any images, John says. So don't come to a congregation with images. Regard it, this is the community of God, and it's made up of forgiven and justified and freed sinners, but who are still having to do all the battles that we've talked about, and other speakers have told us that we have to deal with ourselves. And sometimes our stuff spills over. And it needs the brothers and sisters to bring us back into line, and to encourage us, and sometimes to tell us off. P.G. Forsyth, in his book on preaching and the power of positive preaching in the modern mind, has a very good paragraph in one spot. And that is, he says, that love and consideration for the weak does not give the weak the right to set up a claim which governs and controls the church. See, in this passage, Paul himself says, in the midst of this discussion, I am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean in itself. But it is unclean for anyone who thinks it's unclean. It's a rather beautiful statement. But there is nothing unclean in itself, but some people think it's unclean. But you can't leave people in their weaknesses if you're a pastor or ministering in a church. But you don't attack them. How would you put it? You do not help the weak or a congregation by letting the weak gain control of the congregation. or by overweening the weak. Forsyth says, in effect, grace cannot be inverted into a right that makes demands as a right that Paul says is a grace. So you cannot use your scruples as being a teetotaler to use that as a right which you throw on the whole church, and the whole church itself has to become teetotaler because you have a conscience about it. You are right not to drink and free not to. So don't make up your conscience by drinking. But don't then by that basis say that's my right and I've got a moral authority to say the whole church will come to my point of view. No. Forsyth says we need to shift the focus of in the congregation from paltry things. Dear, dear, paltry things. He says in his time, which was in the early part, the latter part of the 1800s and the beginning of the 1900s, he said, congregations had more arguments about whether their minister could smoke a cigar or not. Not much different today. Can you be a Christian and smoke? Think that out. Is it good for you? Right, well, you're clear on that one. You've been listening to the TV. See, all of us, weak and strong, are impure before God. We've seen that. And all notions about particular impurities, such as food or alcohol. See, in the New Testament, Paul says, to the pure all things are pure, but to the impure nothing is pure. God has created everything created by God, everything, repeat, everything. Without exception, everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received by prayer and thanksgiving. It is then sanctified. Luther says, as we sit here drinking this glass of ale, the word of God goes out throughout the land. Sanctified booze. I think I better stop this study. to go back to it, if we see ourselves as impure before God, then all notions about particularised impurities stem from maintaining secret or even open illusions. What needs to happen is for the same determination to be used by the weak to maintain his or her disgust, which they use to maintain their particular disgust, at particular impurities, that disgust needs to be placed where it belongs, where Paul says, to the pure, all things are pure. To the impure, nothing is pure. That's where you need to focus it. The weak need to do that. And the teaching that we've had at a school like this is, in a way, to enable us to grow up in that. Now, love counts others better than ourselves. That's what Ian was saying, because it ties in with what I'm saying. So to come back to what I said at the beginning, if you're leading the service on a Sunday morning, do you pick all the songs that you're going to throw at the congregation because they are your favourites, or do you count other people better than yourselves and you pick the songs that you believe will be most beneficial and helpful to them? That's the test. Is it me and mine and what I want today? I get my chance to tell the church what I'm about? Or is it your chance to lead the church with the gifts that Christ has given to you, and in love you serve the congregation and you count those others better than yourself, so it's not an ego trip, so you introduce, yeah, sure, new songs, and one song might be one you love, but everything you pick and the way you do it is for the good and the well-being of all those who have not yet sung anything in which you clap your hands. You're not in the flesh, brothers and sisters. You are in the spirit. If the Son has met you free, you are free indeed. Celia has something to say.
The city. Well, if you want to be a true human being and not some wraith
then fear God and keep his commandments. You've been born again for that. And everything else is empty. How should we relate to each other? Well, love works itself out through serving one another. Read Galatians chapter 5 and verses 13 and 14. So what of the battle we're going through now? Is that, are we not really free? We think, oh, if only I could be free of that. No, you're free in that. There was one man once said, we don't have rest from the wrestling, we have rest in the wrestling. That's where the true peace is known. And where the sufferings we experience now are real and they are painful. But I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. So right now I believe what Christ has done and move out into that, and I will walk at liberty, for I've sought your precepts. This is putting it very simply. Do you want to enjoy freedom in Christ? Then do what he tells you. I could have saved the whole study if I'd said that, couldn't I? Just do what he tells you. He's set you free. And we will walk at liberty when we seek his precepts. Because the whole of the just requirements of the law have been fulfilled in us. And we'll never know the joy of that until we move out in faith and obedience. We will walk at liberty. So let us learn how to stir one another up to love and good works. And all the more as we say, see the day drawing near. You read Hebrews chapter 10, verses 22, 23 and 24. Paul says, let us do this, let us do this, let us do this. We're moving on towards a great goal. So come on, let's do it together. I find it difficult because I'm in a battle. So I need you to stir me up to love and good works. And you need me to love, to stir you up to love and good works. That's why God's put us in the family of God. But that's what it is to be free. His service is perfect freedom. In the battle.
He fell out of the tree and he went home with Jesus. And when he repented, he took total responsibility for his sins. Repentance is such a wonderful gift that God gives and wants to give to you. A few weeks ago, I stood at the grave of St. Patrick in Northern Ireland. St. Patrick. All I knew about St. Patrick was green and getting drunk. I tried a pint of Guinness and I didn't like it. Oh, sorry, I should have said that. And there was an exhibition. There's an exhibition in Northern Ireland about St. Patrick. It's a wonderful exhibition. A museum type, and you walk in, you stand on a spot, and they give you a video, or you hear something said. And the first thing that is being said in this exhibition is, you hear the voice of St. Patrick, well, sort of, and he said, I am a sinner. And then he tells the story of his conversion. Zacchaeus stood up and made a big announcement. Half his goods to the poor, and he paid back four times the amount he had fraudulently obtained from people. This was far more than the law of Moses ordered. You give back the amount plus 20%. So he gave half away to the poor and four times. Guess what? How much did he have left? Do you think how much he had left? Nothing. He was rich no longer. He got rid of what was closest to his heart, his riches. Jesus had set him free. I'm not telling you tonight to give away your riches, but I am telling you tonight to repent. He had become a true son of Abraham because of the Son of Man. A true son of Abraham is a blessed person. A true son of Abraham is a daughter of Abraham is a person of faith. He is a righteous man. His name, the righteous man, had become true. Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house. He is a true son of Abraham. Here is a blessed man. Here is a man of faith. Here is a man who is righteous. Here is a man who is clean. Here is a man who has been forgiven. Here is a man who repented and received from God all that God had to give to him. Faith in God is trust in the God who seeks us. We are saved because he has sought us in our lostness. So today, call upon the name of the Lord. Today, Jesus says to you, if you do not know, and if you are not a son or daughter of Abraham, Jesus says right now to you, today, hurry. Say yes, let him grab your heart. Zach came down from the tree. And Jesus went up the tree to die for Zacchaeus.
But so, it's so that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, Gentiles, well, I became as one outside the law. Doesn't matter. Because the law of God is over all of humanity. See, I'm not free from God's law, of course. He says, I'm under Christ's law, the law of the true humanity. So of course I'm going to serve him. And of course I'm going to love, because that's what it's all about. I want to see these people come to the same freedom that I know. So to the weak I become weak, that I might win the weak. I become all things to all people, that I might by all means save some. And I do it all for the sake of the gospel, so that I may share its blessings. Here is a man who knew the power of anger because of his failure and because of the failure of others. He became a man who said, I now know what love is, because strong, strong love has conquered me. But the love that's conquered me is not something mystical. It's the law of Christ, the man. Who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus, whom you crucified. He says, ah, that's the love. There is love in the creation. There is law. And it's come to me and washed me clean. And it's no longer I who live. I'm in that man. And he's in me. I don't need to apply that, do I? No. God is faithful. And his mercy that came to Saul is the mercy that's come to us and keeps coming. And the love of God which is shed abroad in our hearts wasn't just a once-for-all thing back then, but it still flows because Christ hasn't stopped loving and the Father hasn't stopped loving.